Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer, and we're here with SiriusXM at the greatest podcast studio I think I've ever been in. So I'll just say the best one in the world here in the lobby of the Wynn. And we always have new friends come on the show, especially at CES. I get to meet extraordinary C-level executives. And we have the CEO. Her name is Gretchen Littlefield, and she is the CEO of More, M-O-O-R-E. And More is apropos because you do so much more than a lot of your competitors in the CXM space, being able to integrate different platforms, different content in order to effectuate good.
That's correct.
And Gretchen, first I want to thank you for coming on and thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you.
Well, I grew up with Lee Steinberg. I was blessed to be the CEO of the most notable sports agency in the world. And the youngest lesson that I learned working for Lee was that everything we do is for a charitable purpose or a cause. And in other words, that we're going to give meaning to what we do, and we're going to utilize the biggest names, the biggest platforms in the world in sports and entertainment in order to attract people to help people. And when I was reading your background and we just met, I felt the same way I did when Lee explained to me what he did with his sports agency, what you're doing with More. When did giving back become a primary purpose to withstand the pain of being an entrepreneur and building a business?
It's something that drives me and makes it feel like, I did the same thing that I'm doing right now in the commercial world for many years, and it was great working with all of those brands, but it's not nearly as fulfilling as it is now serving the nonprofit sector and the purpose-driven sector. All of our clients have a huge impact on society overall. Everything from helping serve children to finding cures for diseases. It's pretty awesome.
It is awesome. And we have this social silo issue, I think, especially with our younger adults and children. And we need people that bring this together, not just for businesses and for charities, but for our future. And I love your perspective. We've both been in technology for a while. How do you see the integration side of what you do, being able to bring all of these different pieces and parts that are accelerating so quickly together to help actually the future generation be able to communicate and to provide access to good?
Well, the future generation, I think, is more philanthropic than any other generation we've ever seen before, which is really cool.
Encouraging.
It's super cool. Yeah. It all comes down to data. Data is the language and the fuel that powers everything that we do, but it's really fueling the entire technology industry. AI is powered by data.
Right.
So More is focused on figuring out how we make that data power everything and building pathways so that data can make sure the same person that receives a television ad or a digital ad is also getting a piece of mail, almost like a surround sound experience. And why that's important is because it makes it more impactful. We reach more people so that they're activated to give to our clients, to become a volunteer. And it's also important for awareness. The American Heart Association, which was one of the panelists that was on today, they do a really good job of communicating symptoms of heart disease to people. And it's different depending on who you are. For example, it's different for women than it is for men, the types of symptoms that you're going to have. So we help them identify people, figure out how to communicate to them, but also how to communicate in a way that's relevant. Because if you're just communicating the same mass message, it's not as impactful and it doesn't work as well. So we help them communicate a personalized message.
And I was blessed. The reason I got hired as CEO of Lee Steinberg was not because I was a great attorney or a great negotiator or a great agent. It was really because I had a background of what Lee saw as a future of sports and of industry, which was venture capital and also technology. So I was blessed when I got out of law school to work for West Publishing in Westlaw. We exited in 95, even though my mom told me the internet was a fad when I graduated law school and I better be a real lawyer. We exited for $3.4 billion in 1995, and that taught me a lot about technology and a lot about venture. But one of the things that I see today, because I've always seen the resistance, whether it was in the internet, in Web 1.0 with Westlaw, or in middleware, I was a director at EveryPath, working with Texas Pacific and Sequoia and those people, or ended up in the data division at Samsung early on with their first PCE phone, a Windows CE device. Along the entire road, everybody was terrified of the technology. And AI is a lot easier to see and explain. And there's been tons of movies that have created a perception of technology. When I think of more, one of the reasons I said more is more and more helps more for giving more, being given more, receiving more, and asking for more than more. For me, sometimes technology is apparent that it makes humans more human. And it's not something to be afraid of. And I see more as that type of solution where it allows actually humans to be more human.
It allows you to be more human and to speak to people in the way that makes sense to them. We use data to make sure that we're communicating to people in an individualized way so the information is relevant, so it's digestible, and so it's something that they can actually understand, which means we're able to change lives in a way that you can't do if we were just doing mass communications on behalf of our clients. One of my biggest fears, I think, about the industry and the world today is that people are so afraid of AI, they're trying to figure out how they limit it, but they're missing the huge opportunity of all the good that can happen. My entire career has been in data and building very large sets of data. I'm more concerned personally about how do we get all of those data sets normalized, activated, and integrated so that the AI can do its job and find cures for diseases? Like, how do we get to that stage instead of worrying about Terminator or any of these, you know, kind of, you know, fears that people have about AI? We have an incredible opportunity, but we just have to be able to get to the data, normalize it, and be able to pull that data in so that the large language models can work.
It's so true. I mean, a hammer can be used to build a house or break it down.
100%.
And so many people are worried about, how am I going to figure out how to break down the house instead of build it up? And it's so important. You said something really interesting to me. I am a quantum healer, so I believe in energy and frequency and speak around the world in this eclectic space that somehow I ended up in by the time I'm turning 57. I'm also the chairman of the Napoleon Hill Institute and Junior Achievement for purposeful reasons, because you mentioned something about you have to talk to people at their frequency.
Yeah.
And I always tell my kids, it's not what I say, it's what you hear. And it's not what I say, it's how I say it. And data drives a big part of my belief in energy, frequency, and vibration. I would love to get your perception of how frequency is actually integrated into the data. While you're figuring out these different silos and different integration, you have to know the frequency of the audience.
100%. You also, like, the same word can mean something very different depending on the audience. So one of the ways that we use data is to identify which words have what kind of meaning to an individual. And so we're building models saying, this is this kind of person. These are the types of words that are going to have this type of meaning. These are the types of images, the colors even in the ad. All of those little data points can be modeled so that the communication is 100% personalized. We're actually changing those ads in real time as people are reacting to them with AI saying, okay, this type of ad is working. So let's change the way with this audience, let's change the way the ad is being created. And so that we're using words that resonate with people so they can understand what we're trying to communicate. You know, not everybody communicates the same way.
That's for sure. I'm old enough to know when that old song, right? Bad meaning bad or bad meaning good.
Yeah.
that is basic in case you're not at our frequency. Gretchen, last question. What's next? There's so many options, opportunities, and touches of favor when you're in your space. And so prioritization has to be a critical business issue for more, because there's more than enough
To
deal with. Number one, what are you prioritizing next?
The acquisition of more data on behalf of our clients and making that data actionable in real time. So it's all about how quickly can you take in information, activate it, and contact a person so that they're aware of what's happening and what action they should take next. So for us, it's all about the data.
It's so interesting because in sales, credibility is the number one thing.
Trust.
And then emotional connection. And now that data actually can be integrated, not only to be more credible, which effectuates so much more business, but it's so interesting to me that it actually can align emotionally with people, and we can recognize and be aware of the emotion that people buy on emotion for logical reasons. And that's just not product, services, solutions. It's good ideas. It's inspiration. It's faith. It's a variety of things that I think people will become more and more aware of how important more is, no pun intended, as they deal beyond the credibility of data, but also provide this emotional in spirit faith that will provide a better hope for our future and provide better productivity and accessibility as well.
You are so right. And one of the most important things to think about when we think about where the world is going with AI is using data to build trust, not erode trust, but build trust. If you can use data so that you're able to communicate to people in a way that is real and authentic to them, that makes sense to them, that is the most ethical use of data that you could possibly have, and also the most impactful to make good things happen in the world. If you can communicate, for example, the heart example again, what the symptoms of heart disease are to a woman in a way that makes sense to her, using the language that makes sense to her, you could prevent that person from suffering from a heart attack. What could be a better use of data in that way? There isn't one.
No better use of data than to unify us all and appreciate the differences that exist, not only in the physical realm, but to me, in this emotional realm, this frequency that makes us all part of a community, a neighborhood, which at the present to me is my primary focus, is try to create unity, not just in our country, but around the world. And 100%. Language has always been a unifying source. And it takes a great CXM like Moore and a great CEO like Gretchen Littlefield, the CEO of Moore, M-O-O-R-E, who I hope will come back and visit me, whether it's in person. We have stadium at SoFi Stadium Studios, The Wynn. We have Irvine. We are in New York City. So we'll come and find you. We might have to even go to the Midwest since we all have connections there. Gretchen Littlefield, thanks for joining me on The Playbook.
Thank you, Dave.
I am blessed. Dave Meltzer here with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.